Okay, we're going to continue in Galatians. I got a couple things I was going to say first, and then we'll go on. And I may be doing that every week. I don't want to take the preaching from the newspapers, but we do have to encourage one another to stand in the context of where we live, to apply our Christianity to our daily circumstances, to the things that surround us. Diane was talking to someone this week, and some of these other things that are transpiring. I used to understand or think I did, you know, prophecy and the end times and eschatology. If you could have talked to me when I first got out of cemetery, you know, I would have had all the answers. I don't have all the answers anymore. But I do know that God's sovereign, that He's working His perfect will. I do know that Christ is coming again. And I do know that He will literally fulfill the prophecies of His book. Right. Some folks can tell you, oh, it seems to be the day and the hour and the time and all the exact details. I can't necessarily do that. But there are some things I do know. And as I look at the scriptures, it becomes evident to me that things are coming up on the horizon, that there will rise in the latter days a man of sin. Sometimes called Antichrist. There'll be a one-world government, a one-world ruler. And we seem to be fast moving towards that. And there's so many things that are involved in bringing us to such a circumstance. And I just want to look at a few verses over from the book of Revelation. In chapter 13, it speaks of the rise of this Antichrist. You know, some of our Baptist forebears applied these always to the Roman Church. And yes, they apply to the Roman Church, but obviously there's more there. I was reading one brother who I dearly love this week. It applied many of these things to the Waldenses and whatever about buying and selling. But obviously there's more of a literal fulfillment to that. I mean, those things that are set forth here in the book of Revelation have not happened yet. I mean, some folks try to say they have, but to do that, you got to spiritualize the scriptures, as they say, and make things mean. And some even taking the mark of the beast. He was saying, well, that was kind of, you know, giving service or acknowledging Rome. Well, you know, there's an element of that. But there's more to it, I think, quite clearly. And in Revelation 13, verse 7, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, this one world ruler. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That song we just sang talked about our name being written in God's eternal book. God did that. He did that before we were born. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for that.
That's right.
Those that are His are secure in Him. Their names written in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the world. Christ's atonement on the behalf of the elect was accepted before we were. God took His promise. Christ became our surety. And we before God were justified. Though we were born in this world dead in trespasses and sin, just like all of Adam's children. And though we didn't realize these things until the Lord opened our eyes and our hearts and our ears and brought us to look to the Lamb of God and realize whose we were and by whose grace we were. But there comes one that's given unto him to make war with the saints. says unto overcome them. You know, we don't have a promise of victory in the short term. You know, I've been in organizations sometimes in the past where folks kind of have to have this idea that, you know, we're going to prevail. Well, in the short term, in the history of the world till the Lord comes back, we may not prevail. Doesn't matter. We're called to be faithful. We're called to stand. And he makes war with the saints. Continuing on, and at some point maybe we'll go into more depth and detail in studying some of these things. But I'll still be the first one to tell you some of them I don't quite understand all yet. But I think we'll come to know more and more as the time approaches. Down in verse 16 of chapter 13. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark and the name of the beast and the number of his name. Now, brother, I believe time's coming. You know, right now we're already seeing, they want to tell you, you can't go shopping, you can't go this, you can't. New York City says you can't go to the restaurant unless you got a vaccine passport. And we already saw those things here earlier, in the earlier panic, and the panic's only growing. We see the preparation for these things. Got to have a vaccine passport. But, you know, that's kind of inconvenient. Eventually, they're going to make it convenient. They're going to put that passport injected into your hand or your forehead. I mean, you can't see this? You think we're making this up? I grew up having preachers tell me these things, and they seem kind of fantastic back then. They don't seem so fantastic now. He calls them all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, everybody. You get his mark, or you can't buy, you can't sell. Verse 18. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We all know 666. Can we tell you exactly what that means? I'm not sure. I've heard all kind of theories. One time I remember it was Hubert Humphrey, because HHH 666, it was Hitler. It was, brother, I don't know exactly what that means, but we will come to know, and I think it will eventually become evident, and I used to be one of those, and I'll just waver a little bit today. I won't take this much time every week before I get into the regular message, but, you know, I grew up believing in the premillennial rapture of the church. Christ is going to come and take everybody away, and we're not going to have to. Hey, folks, you say, well, I'm not going to be there. I'm not so sure I find that in Scripture. I would love, maybe if the Lord wants to do it, that's all right with me. If I'm wrong, and he comes and just takes me out, and I don't have to meet the Antichrist, and I don't have to stand before him, and I don't have to endure all that, but the Lord made us for things. You know, like we were talking today, we're brought to the kingdom for a time such as this. We're not going to necessarily escape it all. Sometimes you go into the fire, and the Lord protects you. Sometimes you go in the fire, and you burn. But regardless, like the Hebrew children said, regardless of what happens, he's going to take us out of your hand. You can't do anything to us anymore. Some were sawn asunder, Paul tells us in Hebrews. You know, you think you're going to escape all wrath and all the wrath of men? You're going to escape the wrath of God. But that doesn't come till the end. The wrath of men, our forebears didn't escape. Tell that to John the Baptist. They cut his head off. Said, well, I don't want to have my head cut off. I don't want to have my head cut off either. But when the time comes, the Lord will give us grace. Mm-hmm. And I think we're to stand. We're to fight against the Antichrist as the Lord gives us means and wisdom and direction. But the time may come. He may overcome in the short term. Revelation tells us that. Well, what's all tied into, and you get into other things, and Revelation talks of Babylon and stuff, and folks say, well, that's the Roman church, and certainly there's applications there. John even talked about the spirit of Antichrist is already here. But Antichrist is yet to come. And the false religion of Rome is all involved in this. And again, I can't say beyond any shadow of a doubt, but the more and more as I've come to read Revelation, I read about Babylon and Babylon falling. It kind of sounds like that place, you know, the United States of America. That's what it kind of sounds like. There were so many parallels there, even when the 9/11 stuff happened. Revelation 14, and I'm skipping around some, but I think it's important to put these things out here because some folks haven't heard these for a while. Some of the folks have never heard these. And you ought to at least be alert. Revelation 14, verse 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Brethren, if you'll take an honest look at American history, I think you'll see how this applies. And it's only waxing worse and worse. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Listen, God's wrath is going to be poured out. The thing that folks have historically called tribulation, the tribulation periods described in Scripture. And it's not till the very end of that God's wrath is poured out. We read about the wrath of Antichrist and the wrath of these other things that come about. I believe we're going to be spared from God's wrath. In fact, that's one thing I do know.
Right.
The Scriptures teach me that. Because my name's written in the book. But I'm not promised to be spared from the wrath of man, and things will wax worse and worse. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. That's some sobering stuff. You think of these evil people that rule in evil places. And I don't, from a human perspective, wish them ill. But God will pour out his wrath on them.
That's right.
If they're not amongst his elect. And we see these evil men that promote themselves. And those evil men that will worship the beast and his image and Babylon. And the smoke, verse 11 of Romans, Revelation 14. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. You know what I think that means? It means what it says.
Mm-hmm.
I can't rejoice in that. I can rejoice in the fact that God has chosen us. We deserve that!
Mm-hmm.
As I shared last week, and we'll be getting into, I talk about it again in Galatians. There is no one in hell that does not deserve to be there. And there's no one in heaven that deserves to be there. It's God's grace. Verse 11 of Revelation 14. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they had no rest, day or night, who worshiped the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Well, we talked about a little bit during fellowship. This has been coming for years. Mm-hmm. All these vaccines, I think, are the preparation for it. Somebody asked, well, do you think this vaccine is the mark of the beast? I don't think it's the mark of the beast, but certainly it's a preparation for it. It's preparing people to receive that thing. It's preparing people when the beast that's in D.C. says, you got to get your implant, you got to get my mark, people will say, well, okay. Because after all, I got the vaccination. And I think we've been for years teaching people to be less and less squeamish about these things because I said I was behind a vehicle the other day that on the back it said inkaholic, and I had to think a minute for what it was talking about. It was talking about a tattoo fiend. And you come across very few young kids, people today that don't have a tattoo. And there's many folks my age that don't have a lick of sense. I don't know what this has to do with anything, but I always remember the story of my dad when I think about this. He was a Navy corpsman. And he went through World War II. They called him back up again after I was born. And he went through the Korean War as a corpsman attached to the Marine Corps. And he never had a tattoo. And what he used to always tell me, he said, I was never that drunk. And the Lord spares us from some things. And if somebody's got a tattoo, God can forgive you for that. And you can go on from there. But I'm thankful the Lord saw fit to spare me from some things. And that was one of them. And these young people today that are being prepared just to receive these things, to glory in them, call themselves an inkaholic. I just remember, and I wish I had a copy of it, of Franklin Sanders' speech that one time before we left an organization that I won't even mention their name. But Franklin left too, or was pushed out. I don't know. But he talked about the paganism that's involved in all this. And really what's being talked about here, worshiping the beast, and this is all paganism. And they're preparing people for that. And it's rushing along faster than we can imagine. And more. Now I saw they're saying everybody in the military has to receive a vaccine now. Everybody. You know, we hung Nazis that performed medical experimentation on people. And at that time, we formulated something called the Nuremberg Codes. And they address exactly what's going on in this country today. All those power brokers in D.C. and elsewhere are violating the Nuremberg Code. Joe Biden is violating the Nuremberg Code by forcing a vaccine on someone that's not been properly tested, that's not been approved, that does not receive, you know, their approval or their consent. That's all in violation of the Nuremberg Code. These people should be in jail, they should be tried, and they should be hung by the neck until dead. But back up in Revelation 17, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So, We may not live to see that happen, at least not in this natural life. We will live to see it happen. And it's going to be worse than being hung by the neck until dead. But we see the preparation for these things, and it began a long time ago. And it's just cascading. Revelation 18, I'll pick up there. And he cried mightily. Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen! Is fallen! You know, you think this great American empire can't fall? Watch it. Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. The Lord gave John away with words there, didn't he? But he's, I guess, quoting the angel and whatever, but... For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Boy, I could just go off on so much here. The merchants of the earth. And here they've waxed rich because of their association mm-hmm. with the empire. You know what you call that, right? Fascism. And that's what we see. These merchants of death that are waxing rich because of their connection to Babylon the Great. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Come out of her, my people. You can call it secession. Separation. I was sharing a Pagan really wrote a book called Atlas Shrugged. But she had some insight about these things. She saw a time coming when the businessmen wouldn't put up with the restrictions of the government and all anymore. But the thing is, now they've just become part of the government.
Right.
They've become a part of the fascism. She saw a time when the businessmen would withdraw and the empire would collapse. Not sure it's going to happen that way. But we need to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
A common people. It's not going to be the titans of business. It's going to be mom and pop. It's going to be the local people, local stores, local churches. What few of true churches there are left. Come out of her, my people, and be ye not partakers of her sins. Don't go along with it. I've been talking a lot about using the terms resist. Do not consent. I think I can see all those words in there.
Mm-hmm.
Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Brother, this life's just for a little while. There's bigger and better and more important things. And so I pray we might on those things. I had one other thing I was going to share as part of Galatians, but I'll share it now because then I'll wrap it up, I guess. The empire, and that's part of this thing about, you know, you got to receive the mark. You're subservient. Mm-hmm. You're worshiping the beast.
That's right.
You're receiving his name. You're receiving his mark. You're identifying with him. You know, for a long time I've talked about, we've been over in Galatians, I was explaining how I think Paul is here telling us basically what we as Southerners would say is, don't be Yankees. I'm not talking about everybody that's born in the North. I'm talking about that Yankee mindset.
Right.
That New England. And we had some things in common, at least theologically, with what were called the Puritans, but they long ago left whatever that was. But they still have that mindset. And they brought it over to the political realm. And in the political realm, their idea is everybody needs to just be like us. We can fix everybody. We can fix the South. We can fix the world. We can fix the Middle East. We can fix the Far East. We can fix everywhere. We just got to make everybody just like us. Get them to bow. Get them to receive the mark. Get them to comply. And I came across something this week that just kind of made me think of that and of another thing that I'd mentioned in the past as well. One of the commentators I sometimes include in our paper, not always, because she tends sometimes to be a little bit too much of a worshiper of the empire, but still she has some perceptions sometimes, and she's looking at the things that's going on here and trying to get people to submit, to conform. And Patrice Lewis, she says this, and this will be maybe in next week's paper. Yeah, she says the goal of all these leftist efforts is the same goal as the CCP, Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Full conformity. Full compliance. Full standardization. Everybody just go along. Just get along. Everyone must believe, and she quotes me and some other things that I've shared in the past. Well, she doesn't know me from man mode. Everyone must believe, act, and behave precisely the same way. If you fall in with those demands, your life will be great. Well, for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But as I often say, but then you die. And then what? But she says, if you fall in with these demands, your life will be great. You'll be allowed to shop. Well, what are we reading Revelations, folks? Couldn't buy or sell.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be allowed to shop, to eat out, attend the theater, and state your opinions. But dissent of any of in any of these categories, and your life will be a living hell. Well, it's interesting she puts it that way, and I understand how the terminology she's using, and the way we use that terminology of this present life, of our temporal life being a living hell, that's a whole lot better than having your eternal life be a living hell.
That's right.
But to sit in any of these categories in your life will be a living hell. Your social credit score will control your destiny. You know, and keep tabs on how obedient you are, how submissive you are, how compliant you are, and then that will determine what you can or can't do.
Right.
What do they tell us? Just get the jab and you can go back to normal. Well, that hadn't worked out very good, doesn't seem like, but they keep telling us that.
Mm-hmm.
Patrice, again, gets a little bit confused, I think. She's still seems to look towards folks like Trump and DeSantis and whatever. Listen, they're not going to fix this. Politics can't fix this. We can't vote our way out of this. But as I sang, look to the Lamb of God. Because you know what? He's coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming. And as she said that, I couldn't help but think. I often refer back to that one movie I saw years ago, Ride with the Devil. And it's just amazing how these things just continue on. They're there. People have recognized these for years. And yet we forget them. We ignore them. And this movie, Ride with the Devil, it's about the partisan rangers in bloody Kansas and Missouri during the war. Some of these rangers are at dinner at the house of a Confederate sympathizer. In fact, the house, if I remember right, his son died in the cause. And this small businessman, not these giant fascist businessmen, but this small businessman engages the leader of one of the units in conversation. And that partisan leader, after the gentleman spoke of the town of Lawrence, Kansas, that partisan leader said, "The founding of that town, Lawrence, Kansas, was truly the beginning of the Yankee invasion." And Mr. Evans says, "I'm not speaking of numbers, nor even abolitionist troublemaking. It was the schoolhouse." Brother, you need to educate yourself on what's happening in the schoolhouse. What they're doing to your kids, what they're doing to the next generation. And this began back in the 19th century. And so in Europe even before.
Mm-hmm.
Public schools. Government schools. It's a proper terminology. It was the schoolhouse. Before they built their church even. They built that schoolhouse. They let in every tailor's son and every farmer's daughter in that country. They rounded every pup up into the schoolhouse because they fancied that everyone should think and talk in the same free-thinking way they do, with no regard to station, custom, propriety. That's their philosophy. That they're going to make you just like them, and it'll be for your good. You need to comply. You need to submit. You need to receive the mark. You need to acknowledge your allegiance to the empire and the emperor and the beast. Mr. Evans goes on to say, and perhaps he's right in the short term, and he says, and that is why they will win. Because they believe everyone should live and think just like them. And we shall lose because we don't care one way or another how they live. We just worry about ourselves. He says, you fight for everything that we ever had, as did my son. It's just that we don't have it anymore. Brethren, it's cultivating the right mind attitude. Who you will serve. Who you submit to. It's determining, and God will protect His own. He knows those His own, but there's still a struggle. There's still a fight. to say, no, I will not comply. I will not do that. And I'm, again, not saying that this vaccine's the mark, but it's not too far behind it, I don't think. And maybe now would be a good time to start resisting. Instead of when they say, you got to get this implant. You know, you say, well, you know, you got the vaccine, then why won't you get the implant? It's just a mindset. It's a totalitarian roller coaster that they're building, that they want to put us all on. Brother, there's, again, we can't become the enemy. We can't become evil to prevail over evil. Mr. Evans says we won't win because we're not Yankees, basically. Well, I don't want to be a Yankee. And again, nothing against Northern people.
Right.
We still don't need to care how they live. But they need to leave us alone.
Yes.
We have to stand firm. We have to make clear that we will not change the way we live. We will not change our commitment to God, to the Scriptures. And no, we will not become Yankees, subjects of the empire, recipients of the mark. And we need God's grace to do that. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. I believe the time is short. I know that God is sovereign. I know that we can trust in Him. And I pray He give us grace to stand. We'll take our hymnals this morning and we'll sing a closing hymn, number 249, Thou Hast Chosen. 249, if you like, you can stand as we sing this closing hymn, Thou Hast Chosen. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for your word, for the strength and the encouragement it gives us. Lord, I pray that you help us to stand against the evil that pervades this world. By your grace to stand apart, to not be conformed to the world, but be conformed to the image of your Son. Lord, as you give us direction, may we come out Paul says in Corinthians as well, come out and be separate. Or your people are called a peculiar people. Certainly, we're such in the eyes of the wicked and fallen world. Lord, may we not form affinity with wickedness, form affinity with Ahab. Lord, it's because there's nothing good in us. Lord, it must be done by your grace. And Father, we pray for that grace. Lord, enlighten us. Help us to encourage others. And Lord, if it be your will that even in the short term that your people may be overcome, we know that ultimately you prevail. And those that are yours prevail. And that you know who each one is. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you for your sovereignty in which we can trust. Thank you for one another. Lord, we pray for those that need healing and comfort. Lord, for those that are brought under the delusion and Lord, that great delusion speaks that even if it were possible that your saints could be drawn away into it. We thank you, Lord, that we know that's not the case. But Lord, we know we need strength and courage, endurance, and determination to stand. Lord, help us to have that. Go with us as we go our way. Glorify yourself and your people. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.